All right, good morning. I think it's still good morning. I think I'm the last stop before the afternoon, so hopefully this will be of interest. How many clinicians do we have in the room? A couple? Okay, well, this will be good. I'm Karen Chapman. I'll get to the, oh, let's do the admin stuff first. Yes, I am been employed by Northrop Grumman. I guess if you combine it, 13, 14 years. So do I have seniority? I need some distinction. So what I've been doing, I'm from the VA military health arena, more focused on the clinical side and taking care of the military patients, and that includes them active duty members as well as their dependents. So it's 9.6 million beneficiaries that I'm trying to deal with. And over the past 14 years, my main involvement has been with the military's EHR, ALTA. That's kind of where we started in this. And as we went through that, we were looking at, okay, great, we've rolled out this extremely complex soup-to-nuts system. It can do everything from checking in appointments, going to documenting vitals, doing some registry information, documenting a great soap note with a lot of flexibility, placing orders. I mean, it's very comprehensive. So we were kind of looking at, okay, that's great, but what else can we do? How can we extend this further? How can we provide more value to the clinicians who are, you know, in the field treating our military members? And we came up with this whole idea for quality, say this 10 times fast, quality health data collection at the point of care through using efficient mobile health technology for the population health metrics. So Jay needs data. Right? So most of you are in the public health research data analytics arena. You need the data. So this is one input for the clinical data. It's through your EHRs right now. So we were looking at how we can extend that and actually make sure we're looking at and providing quality data then for the analytics down the line. I was doing research on the internet is now what I do. We're into this new technology, so I'm constantly going out and finding out about the new tablets and the iPad minis and the Windows platforms and all this other stuff. So while I was stumbling around, I came across this physician, Dr. Juan Reyes, and it was kind of an interesting, it's a very simple little quote. The EHR usability, which is a big deal, needs to be simple, efficient, and design friendly. Which, okay, great, but how do you do that for an EHR? A lot of the physicians now, at least in the military setting, they have to use the EHR. It's mandated. You're in the military. Thou shalt do what I say. You're going to use this tool, whether you like it or not. And you can imagine there's been a little bit of pushback because it's kind of a one-size-fits-all solution. So there's some hesitancy, challenge in using that EHR. And really, to get your good quality data, you need to have your clinicians like what they're using to input the data. So it's kind of another tack. We took with looking at this. And most of you are familiar with the current challenges with EHRs, specifically for the military. They have a worldwide system, one central repository. They have this complex architecture out there. For them to move and update their application or really change it to fit what is needed in the clinic, in the workflow, it's difficult. On the functional side, this is like everybody uses Microsoft Word, right? But if you look at the functionality, what it can do, we probably only use 20% of that functionality because the rest of it is too complicated. I don't need it. I don't have time to learn it. And when I do go to that little help thing, it doesn't really help me. So I'll stick with my 20% that I know and leave the rest of it to people who have time and desire to look at that. So that's what we're also looking at with this current application. So as a provider, you've got to see 25 patients a day. You have to create this medical legal note at the end of it, and I have to use this system, of which 20% of it I only, you know, it's all I need. So again, our solution then was to create targeted health application on a mobile platform. Take advantage of the current architecture. Okay, so this complex architecture that's already there, it's already in place. We're just going to tag onto it. We're just going to connect right to the same database and server that they use. We're going to take that EHR experience, this really touch and go depending on who you ask, use mobile devices, which are cool, the new thing, new technology. We're going to simplify and streamline the encounter documentation, which then is going to improve the workflow. And we're also going to be able to react a little quicker, by the way this was designed, to meet the changing requirements of meaningful use on the new ICD-10 implementation. So it ties very nicely with what was discussed earlier. And what this then brings us, and again with the tablets and with clinicians using their EHR and inputting the data right there with the patient in the room, we get this full circle, I guess. So we start with the clinical encounter, the data provided on individual patients, and we get into sending that data to a central data store. So, you know, in the military, it's the clinical data repository. It could be health systems, central repositories as well. That's where the healthcare analytics, the research, the trending, what are the best practices in healthcare, how do we, you know, look at that. That can take place. And then the kind of the flip side, I think, which was the question asked earlier, which was perfect, how do you get that information then back to the clinicians to take care of the individual patients? And so with the tablet and the way the tablets and the mobile platforms are built, you can create multiple little apps. So you can have the clinical entry, data entry app, but you can have also the notification, you know, your food safety notifications. Hey, there's an outbreak of salmonella in your local town. You know, you might be seeing patients with these symptoms. There's all that feedback loop that you can just throw right on the tablet. It's just a mechanism to increase that communication and really close that loop and that circle. So a little detail then about what we have. We built a customized application. Again, I think I've covered a lot of this. It streamlines the encounter documentation, and we put it on a tablet. So this is our tablet. Right now we put this on a Samsung Android tablet, 7-inch on purpose. 7-inch, yes, it's not an iPad. The iPad's a lot bigger. You can't palm it. You can't do data entry, and it doesn't fit in your lab coat pocket or your military uniform pant pocket. So there's some usability issues there. We are looking, now that the iPad mini is out, yes, we are looking at that. Yes, I'm going to get a new toy to play with, to look at that and making this platform agnostic. Because right now with the tablets and, you know, Windows 8's coming out on a tablet, actually it came out last week, I think, that's something to think about as well, as making sure that you've got all your platforms. But the key piece to this is we stripped out that 20% of the functionality from the main EHR. We put that 20%, what's actually used, on the tablet. So the clinicians now just use what they need to use, and it's streamlined, it's easy, it's intuitive. The benefits are pretty obvious. Through the tablet, they have the critical patient information. Their health history is sitting on here, so they can pull that up at any point in time during the encounter. The workflow is obviously supported because all you see is what you need. So you can quickly jump to whatever section of the note you need to. The integration, that's another key part. We don't have to stand up any new architecture. We're just relying on what's already in place. And then down the road, the integration of the disease notification or the food safety notification or, you know, best practices notification through the tablet is also possible. So I'm going to walk you through some of the screens that we have. This is what we call the dashboard. We have our appointment list and the clinician's tasks, orders to sign, and new results. So it's pretty much whatever they need to do their job during the day. So you can kind of see that providers are walking around the clinic, taking care of patients, answering questions, calling patients back, but they always have access to their information on the tablet. This is our current summary. So this is what's going on for this visit. I will say this is, right now it's built for an outpatient clinic, an outpatient setting. Although, you know, any of you hospital folks, this could easily be tweaked. Tweak, that's my new word, tweaked. I'm not a developer, so I'm not technical, so everything to me is a tweak. Oh, just tweak it and then it'll work. Our current encounter summary, so as we go through the documentation process, these different areas would fill up with the information, so you do have one picture of what's going on with the patient in that visit. Health history, again, is available at any point in time, and you can see the interface. It's relatively intuitive. If I want to know about this diabetes encounter, I click it, and I'm going to get that full encounter. So if I want that level of detail, I can get it. But if I don't, and most physicians don't need that, I have a quick summary right here. So here's the details of this encounter. The military uses what they call a copy-forward functionality quite a bit. It's actually the center of their workflow. So in this case, this diabetes encounter could be used in this current visit as a template, as a starting point of information. Obviously, the patient's problems aren't going to change. Their allergies aren't going to change. Their meds might need a little tweaking. But for the most part, they're good. So let's use that data and not have to re-enter it. So that's we have that built in as well. Our sliding drawer. Again, I talk about the simplicity of it. It's really, you pull out your sliding drawer and you've got vitals, your soap, note, orders, placing orders, the use of visuals, which we'll get to, that's kind of a cool thing, and then the final disposition of the patient and the signing of the note. So it's simple, it's straightforward. That's the workflow, right? I mean, that's what you do in every single visit. You got to go through those steps for the most part. So here's our vitals page, and tapping through this. So the idea here, especially, again, background is the military, your nurses and your technicians are taking the vital signs. As they take the vital signs, the provider that's going to be following up can either review the entry in the tablet, or if that provider happens to be working at the PC with the full EHR, it's available there. So the data is seamlessly written to the same database, so it's obviously going to be available whatever device is being used to access this patient record. All right, the tri-service workflow. So this is the our SOAP note, the most complex and the most difficult and the most talked about, complained about section of an EHR. We have taken a third-party product, Medicine's Quip. You've all heard of Medicomp. They do the medicine clinical knowledge engine. No? Okay. It's a very powerful tool. It's the clinical database that kind of runs the military's EHR. We've integrated their web app into our tablet application. And the nice thing here is that we can tailor and customize what you see here, the templates, to what our clients need. In this case, this first page is exactly what the military wants their technicians to ask every single patient when they come in. Now, a lot of this is pre-populated based on the data that's already available. Again, I'm not trying to duplicate entry here, but it's streamlined, so they know exactly what they have to do. Okay? Some of these areas, like chief complaint, has a space underneath it. It's actually a free text field. So the technician can type into that. But if you've ever typed on one of these tablets, it's a little difficult. So this is, every tablet comes with whatever product it is, comes with a voice recognition software. We have actually added Nuance's Flex T9 for the Android operating system to this. So I can actually click into that field and dictate. Okay, because typing on these things is almost impossible unless you're like 12, 13, 14. Then you can probably fly through it, but I haven't mastered that skill yet. So this is a critical piece as far as our current client with the military, because it matches exactly their workflow and what they want captured, which then leads them to be able to mine the data and do all the research, because it's a standardized approach to capturing the data. A cool other feature, so once this first piece is documented by the technician, the provider can come back in, add information as needed, and then hit this drop down. And again, these are all customized built lists based on the military requirements. So for review systems for this patient, I can pick, what do I need? Do I need everything? No, probably not. Again, I only need to see what I need to see for this patient in this visit. So checkbox is in there. It's going to load up the list behind the scenes, and I can just quickly, yes, no. It's actually you putting in your yeses. There's a swipe gesture that will auto-negate everything else in the section if that's how we set it up. So very customizable tool, very flexible. If you haven't had an opportunity to look at this tool, again, it's Medicomp. It's their Quip medicine engine. It's a very powerful tool. So our order entry. One more thing about that. I will say one more thing. So with the current military's EHR, it does include the medicine engine as well. However, it's also a thick client application, so it has to be installed on the laptop or the PC every single time there's an update. If we move into the web, we can do this automatically. So it takes a whole lot of that work out of the maintenance and the sustaining of these applications. Okay, order entry, your standard order entry piece. Again, the military is closed system, so they own and operate their own pharmacy labs and radiology. So again, Alta can place the orders, so can the tablet. All right, the visuals, this is a cool thing. So in the military, the PCs, right? Great. They don't have a camera. Nope. Do you think, how many think, that the military is going to allow you to take a picture with your camera and plug that into a USB port in the computer to actually get the picture into the record? Yes? How many think we'll have that happen? No. Right now, some of the more dedicated, hard-headed providers do have their cameras. They plug it into their personal laptops and send it to themselves through their email, and then from their personal email, they send it to their military email, and that's how they get it into the record. It's difficult. Anyway, so the tablet, though, has a camera feature, so we'll take advantage of the camera on the tablet. It can take and put it into here, and the nice thing is, since we're writing to the same database, that picture gets into Alta. So if I went to a PC, I could pull that image up on the PC now. So it's a real easy, that's one of the biggest things. Talk to the dermatologists, they love this piece. All right, so complete encounter. At the end of it, all your vitals, your soap note, your orders. If you had any pictures in there, it's all written out, quick review, and then you're done. Okay, very simple, very easy. Supports the current workflow with the current architecture. So in the end, again, here's this full circle, and we're talking about big data. We have all these tablets or apps, mobile applications writing all to a central repository. You've got your big data analytics. You've got Jay over here that will crunch numbers and do all kinds of cool visuals and whatnot. But it's really critical to get the data and get it in correctly. And the other thing this does, my family physician, he's got a laptop. He's got his EHR on his laptop. That's all a little bit better. But still, it's sitting in his lap where he puts it on the counter. And it's, okay, why are you here? And it's always headaches. He's got a headache. Okay, headache. He's turning around. And I'm sitting there like, you know what? I'm here. I'm not over there. Focus on me, the patient, not on the computer. So what this does, you can see it's real easy, it's an all-natural, so you have a headache, okay, and how long has that been going on, and what are you doing for it? It's a real easy piece. The other piece, hey, have you seen this website? Some, strategies to manage your headaches. And it's a real interactive session instead of, this whole, what's going on over your shoulder type thing. So in summary, we're trying to take advantage of the mobile platform and the latest technology, and put it into the clinician's hands. And I tell you, if you walk in, we've obviously been talking with several providers, you walk in with a tablet and this functionality on the tablet, and they're already amazed. They haven't even seen it. Like, oh, a tablet, I get to do this on a tablet? They feel like they're part of the technology movement. With the core clinical functionality, again, it's simple. It's what they need. They don't need all that other stuff. If they need that other stuff, they can go to the PC and work on that. But when they're talking with their patients and helping their patients, they've got what they need. The history and everything else is right there for them. We've talked about the architecture. We've talked about the relationship. And the other thing, just real quick, a tablet, how many of you all have a tablet, an iPad or a tablet? Most people do. It's targeted little apps. So we have a targeted app for the clinician and that clinical encounter. We're also talking about having patient-centered apps. Get the patient in to take a survey. And you can have a patient education app. So it's, as far as like thinking about it and putting the tasks on an app, it's a lot easier to do that than develop a whole system, kind of going back to the whole, do you have one system to do everything or do you have little systems to do a lot of different things? With the mobile piece, you can really target your individual, tasks or problems put those in an app, and then they all run together on a tablet or on the mobile platform. So there's the opportunities and the possibilities are just endless. So, and I will leave it there.
Thank you.
We're going to do a session.
Okay. I'm probably supposed to say that if anybody wants to play with this, Northrop Grumman booth, we have these to play with. Lots of toys.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, I know some of this on screens is static. You want to see it dynamically. 2905, and Karen is demonstrating that in the booth with the actual handheld. So we have plenty of time for questions, 25 minutes. Karen, since you just spoke, I'd like to maybe ask a question that I know a number of people are thinking about. Public health departments in this country, a number of them actually provide primary care services. Certainly FQHCs, fairly qualified health centers, provide those. So how adaptable is this type of system? You kept talking about the military system, and that's wonderful and great and necessary. How adaptable, how flexible is this system to other uses, public health systems, commercial systems, and what would be the challenges with that?
Okay, great.
Why don't you all take whatever you want to do.
So that's a great question. That's something that we were certainly thinking about with the design of this. So what we did was we took, obviously, and created the app, but the web services behind it and the communication strategy that we've employed allows us to port to any EHR system. So whether it's the DoD's, whether it's the VA's, whether it's anybody else, Kaiser, Allscripts, whatever, the GUI is going to be the same because everybody does those same things. Everybody captures vitals, everybody writes a SOAP note. So the GUI would remain the same. It's the back end that would need to be tweaked based on the data fields that the customer or the client would like to add to the GUI and or what's going on.
Great, good. We have a question right there.
One question I had is if the clinician is talking to his patient, if there, for instance, was some radiology work done or laboratory work done, would that be fed into the tablet so they can communicate the results to the patient?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what we have, it's not, again, like, I don't think I mentioned the prototype, so everything, all the function I built out, but yes, our new results section here would do exactly that. And also in the patient history section would be all the results of their lab work and the radiology. And right now, Alta doesn't hold the actual radiology images, but if a platform has the images or if a health system has that, we can certainly integrate that into your study images.
And sorry, and where would that be integrated? Would that be sent from the laboratory or from the radiology lab into the system and to the
it would be, they would write it back to the database, the central database, and then we would pull it from there.
Yeah.
And Jim.
So I have two questions. One was there's just a clarification. So this has been used in the military environment, but has not been tested in primary care, just generally community health environment. Right.
Not exactly. So we've just finished the prototype, and we're working with the military to get a pilot in a live clinic to run it through the phases and finalize some of the aspects.
Because one of the things that would also affect that is the reimbursement for some of this work, which is for in community environments. I think whenever you ask clinicians to do an extra thing, there is also some code that should decide their activities, so they can be paid for that time. And my second question was for Jay.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the predictive analytics applications and the work you showed is using claims data, ACD data or some claims data. And there's a lot of body of work around indices that have been developed to group patients for case management, care management. As we develop more health information exchanges that have more real-time clinical data, do you think these applications are just portable as such, or there will be different developments that will have to happen in order to use that opportunity?
What you're getting at, I think, that's very important, is the big data issue is going to become even stronger as we have streams of information coming on a regular basis. To me, I think some of the key issues are going to be, can can you process, can you manage, can you handle some of that information? And to me, this is where you have to start looking at some of the changes in technologies. There's a big push for a variety of different groups that are looking at Hadoop or NoSQL as approaches that get away from the relational databases that allow you to look at much larger data sets and not become dependent on the single processor relational database approach and go more for a grid computing strategy that allows you to take a look at how to process and manage these really large data sets. So I see the technology needing to and growing along with what the requirements will be to manage and handle that big data at the same time. Did that get at your question?
Yeah, that's good.
Let's stay with Dave for a second. And the issue on the national movement towards accountable care organizations and the state movement with patient-centered medical homes. And thinking about the analytics tool as a way to help understand better that environment as we increasingly link healthcare and public health systems together. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. It's clear, as working with a variety of states as we are too, that there's more of a need for looking at that integration so that accountable care organizations can provide the data to help document and justify what they are doing and where their successes are. Management and accountability is becoming increasingly important, being able to document and justify that our intervention strategies are being successful, that we're cost effective, that this approach using predictive analytics can provide us possibly a better return on the funding that we're going to provide for it, is the kind of question that can be helpful not only in a clinical but in a public health setting as well. I think the CCOs within Oregon are looking at how can we come up with some consistent approaches that are useful to all the different counties and in assisting them in helping link and align the clinical and public health information.
Great. Thank you. Other questions? Yes. Go ahead. Oh, sorry.
No, please go ahead.
My question is also for Karen. I was wondering how much demand you're seeing for feedback loop between provider and patient, especially with patient education becoming part of clinical use, so that patients actually have an opportunity to go out to a secure portal and provide response based on the patient education, whether it's videos, shared decision-making tools, indicate their preferences or their goals for care, and let that be fed back to the record for the clinician. What kind of demand are you seeing for that kind of service?
That's a great question. I will say right now, as far as the military is concerned, they are setting up patient portals to do just that, secure messaging between provider and patient. So that's certainly a key aspect of the whole clinical care delivery. I think the demand is there. I think we've got to figure out how best to use it and how best to get the clinicians, because again, you're asking them to do one more thing, check that email and respond to patients, and that's just one more thing in their one list of already things to do. So the struggle or the challenge, I think, is trying to figure out how do you provide that to the clinicians and then how do you provide make sure you get the feedback to the patients. I think that's the current challenge, you know, convincing the patients that it's going to be of value.
And we got a question in the back.
So Karen, you talked about, because it's built on XML and so, you know, for the application. So you can integrate with any other EHR components. I mean, do you have standard APIs and other things that you guys have already taken a look at?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's really,
that you can do McKesson
or really, Sonar. Right, it's really, so the capturing of the vital signs, it's, you know, specific. Where is it in their database? Where is it stored? And then we have to update our web services to grab that. And that's really,
just pointing to the database within that IEHR where you can grab
right.
the data, that's the mapping.
Right.
It has all the functionality that's already built in on the front end.
Right. And we use the standard HL7 messaging. So, you know, it's just grabbing that data and pulling it back.
So for Mary, I had a question thinking about what you presented on the issue of meaningful use. And as we know, in the public health system, we have a number of now health departments submitting a number of criteria and measures of data for public health measures into the meaningful use system. So there's a lot of data coming in, clinical as well as public health. Any insights on either the public health measures themselves and what's happening with that, and or how's that data going to be analyzed, or what's going to happen with all that data that comes in on meaningful use by the public health departments and providers?
Very good question. We'll ask that question back to some of you that may know more than I do. There's so much that can be done with information kind of resulting from the meaningful use in health reform, not only for cost savings, but for predicting what's going to be happening. We can learn more from healthcare. We can give information back to providers from public health that's going to help them. I think one of the major things that's going to help public health is to take that information that you get in health departments and start partnering it, post it in aggregate, obviously, and start using it to show that public health has such a major impact on the health of Americans and internationally as well. So they need to use the information and then creating this partnership so where you can start to get the resources to develop it.
Okay. Additional questions? Yes, in the back.
There's a question about the data analytics. And I was wondering, what role do you see some of these analytics playing in redefining what constitutes good quality care in a patient-centered environment?
I think it's going to play a very important role. To me, the very process of trying to identify what are the variables, what are metrics that we're going to use, how can we represent them to provide information from the data for the decision makers. That very process helps you also identify what are we not looking at, what is missing from the information. And I think that process can help you also identify what do we need to provide a more comprehensive look at our processes, what kinds of information do we need to get a better handle on. I know in working with Oregon, we're looking at how can we provide some what I'll call a joint application development session where individuals from Oregon, individuals from Northrop Grumman are coming together to take a look at what are the issues, what are our goals, what are our variables and data sets we can look at, what are the particular metrics that will be useful and indicators that we can build on, and which of these are commonalities that are going to help all of us and not just one small subset. So I think it's going to be playing a very important role in helping shape the future of those measures, too.
Yes, please.
You talked about relational databases and sort of integrating public health data sets with the healthcare and the hospital data sets. But, I mean, it's a problem in California, and I'm sure it is in many other parts of the country as well. We have a lot of, especially at county hospitals, we have a lot of undocumented workers. We don't have social security as a common ID. How are we going to make those connections when we don't have a common unique ID between these different data sets?
Mary, you want to take that, or?
You can start,
Mary. Yeah, I think there's been a lot of work by a lot of different groups on this, and there have been a lot of improvement, but it is, it continues to be a huge challenge, and there will be certainly a percentage that you will miss. And it is a really important, I'm a proponent of the unique ID, but I don't think we're going to see it very soon. So we need to continue to work on the analytical methods to pull this together.
And I'll comment that there are some recent advances that looking at data imputation, data linkages that go, if you don't have ID codes where you can say, oh, patient ID to patient ID and put them together, there are statistical approaches and methods that will let you link those together. It sometimes may mean instead of having perfect linkages that you have identified via statistical inference, this is the information. So there are tools, and it is a rich area being explored within analytics. And I won't even start to talk about master patient indexes. Maybe that's something that...
But certainly the visual you showed, looking at New Mexico and the different counties and the transition of Medicaid back and forth, and you even raised the issue of potentially migrant farm workers. So there's definitely ways to look at this in a more aggregate sense and get a sense, a statistical inference, if you will, of the percentage of the population that may be in fact be undocumented that you could find through this analysis. And as the tools get better, our knowledge of that will get sharper as well. Other questions? Any other thoughts on analytics or clinical care or meaningful use? Any last words or no?
It's a rich and growing area.
It certainly is. It certainly is. Well, on behalf of everyone in the audience and Northrop Grumman, of course, let's please thank our speakers today.